Those are strong words. But you sang it very well, and I know. I am so thankful that it is well with our soul. What a blessing it is, church, to be here today. What a blessing it is to be able to worship together in spirit and in truth our Heavenly Father. Obviously, you know that tonight, by now, we've said it, you've seen it, we've announced it. Our Vacation Bible School is kicking off. And so with that, we have t-shirts. And just like the t-shirts that the teens are getting are good-looking shirts, it may be the best-looking Vacation Bible shirts we've ever had. I said skirts. You're not going to have to wear a skirt. All right? But the best, Rhoda thought that was good. Thank you, Rhoda. Vacation Bible School shirts. And so, please, if you haven't ordered them, I don't even know if there's any available. But if you haven't picked them up, you can see Cindy right after worship this morning and get those. And so please, go ahead and do that. And let's get that advertising going early this afternoon. Today, you can go ahead and turn the screen on there, guys. Today, we're going to talk about kicking off our Vacation Bible School, but we're going to do it from a biblical standpoint that I think is very, very important. You see, the theme this year of our Vacation Bible School is, you've got a friend in me. Okay? You've got a friend in me. And that is a great theme. And, you know, I have watched Toy Story probably 1,000 times in my lifetime because it was my son's favorite movie when he was a little boy. It may still be now. I don't know. But all that to say, that theme has always stuck with me. Because isn't that a great theme for us to adopt as the church? You've got a friend in me. You've got a brother in me. You've got a sister in me. We ought to be there for one another. And see, that theme, it immediately reminds us when you hear it that every person who is here today, every person who's really ever lived and ever will live, when you hear something like that, you think about, someone loves me. Isn't that great to know that there are people out there that they love us? When we hear that theme and we think about that theme, it reminds us that every person longs to have somebody who will stick with them. And see, that's sometimes trouble because there are things that happen in life, whether it be in our friendship group, whether it be in our family, whether it be in some type of circle we're in, there are things that are going to happen that maybe we make mistakes or they make mistakes. And we need somebody who's going to love us through those. Not approve of those, but stay with us through those. That theme reminds us that there is someone who cares for us. There's someone who can be trusted. And see, when I think about all of that, just like you right now, I'm thinking about Jesus. Because Jesus is that type of friend. Jesus is that one who will always love us, who will always stick with us, who will always care for us, and who we can always trust. And so as we get ready to think about this theme and think about this upcoming Vacation Bible School, I want us to think about more than the decorations. And by the way, we're going to have some great decorations. You already see some of them. It also reminds me that we have the most talented people on the planet right here at Azalea City. And I am so amazed every year at the talent that we have. And so with that, though, I want you to not just think about and focus on those decorations. You see, in this room, in this church family, we have a lot of parents. We have a lot of grandparents. We have a lot of mentors. And that's one thing Taylor has adopted into our youth group this year is a mentor program. And there are those in this congregation who are mentoring those in our youth group. But there are some of you that you are that person in a child's life. You are that person in a teenager's life. And so, whoever it is, in other words, this sermon is for all of us today. Because everyone in this room has someone that is looking up to them and depending on them. You know, we call it a family vacation Bible school. And I really don't want to get away from that because I think that's very important. Because when you hear VBS, you just think of children. But ours is for the family. And so adults, don't think this isn't for you. You're going to have great teachers, a lot greater than tonight on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. The teacher tonight, he's suspect a little bit. That'd be me. But all that to say, you're going to have classes every night. And we need everybody here. But don't miss the point. The emphasis is really the children and their families. Those in our community, right? And so when you think about it, I want you to understand there are a lot of children that and families that will be impacted. I thought about doing this. I'm not going to do it. But you think about and you look around, and if you've been a part of Azalea City for a long time, whether you are in leadership here or you've been a Bible class teacher or just someone who's been that mentor that's been here through all the VBSs, I've been doing VBS a long time, and I go back to Fairview doing VBSs. We used to do those during the day. But we've done big vacation Bible schools here a long time, and we've had a lot of people over the years from other congregations and from this congregation grow up coming and attending our VBS. You know what the beautiful thing about it is? Many of them are now involved in our VBS. You see, that's the impact that it can have in the kingdom. It can have a lasting impact. And so those of you who are involved, those of you who grew up and it meant so much to you that you're now involved and you're getting your children involved, thank you. But today, what I want us to truly think about when I think about children and I think about making an impact on them, I want you to ask yourself, what kind of faith are our children actually seeing in me? And I want you to make that about you. Ask that question. What kind of faith are the children, maybe in my household, maybe that I'm mentoring, maybe that are on the pew across from me, what kind of faith do they actually see in me? I'm not talking about the faith that we claim. There are a lot of us that will claim to be faithful. I'm not talking about just going online and posting about how faithful we are. Because remember, a lot of times online is not telling the true story. I'm not talking about the faith that we will display on a Sunday morning only. I'm talking about what type of faith are our children actually witnessing from us in everyday life? You see, in the Bible, you have great examples of faith. In 2 Timothy 1:5, for instance, Paul tells Timothy, "I am reminded of your sincere faith." He's talking to Timothy now. "A faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother, Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well." You see, Timothy's faith did not begin the day he was baptized into Jesus Christ. Think about that. Listen, does it take faith to become obedient to the gospel? Yes. It doesn't just start the day we're baptized, right? And so Timothy's faith didn't just start the day he was immersed into Christ. In fact, it began long before that, before Timothy was even born. In fact, before his mother Eunice was even born, it started in Lois. Why is it family? Why does family matter? Why does it matter what type of faith as a father, as a mother, as a grandmother, as a grandfather, as a mentor, what type of faith, why does it matter what type of faith I have? Look at Timothy. Timothy became a great worker for God. He was a young preacher, and Paul was sending him out to all these congregations. But that faith didn't happen the day he was baptized. It didn't happen the day he was born. It happened in his mother. And it didn't happen the day she was born. It didn't happen the day she was baptized, because it actually happened in his grandmother. And that was passed down from generation to generation. And now we're talking about Timothy, and we're inspired by those words that Paul gave him today. Because of a Lois. Because of a Eunice. You see, it's that type of faith that can change generations to come. So let's be honest. What type of faith are our children seeing? What type of faith are they witnessing from us? Today, I want you to think about this. Number one, our children see whether our faith is real or not. Paul described Timothy's faith as sincere faith. You know what that means? It means his faith was genuine. It was real. It was authentic. In fact, it also means it was without hypocrisy. That's what sincere faith means. He said, Timothy, you have a sincere faith, a genuine faith, a real faith, an authentic faith, a faith that is without hypocrisy. You know, children, they have an incredible ability. They have a lot of incredible abilities. But one of the incredible abilities that they have is to be able to detect what is real and what is fake. I am quite certain today, or this evening, when they see Buzz Lightyear, and they see Woody, and they see Jesse, they're going to know instantly those are not the real Buzz, the real Woody, and the real Jesse. Now, they're going to do their, as we say in the South, John Brown best. But I guarantee you they're going to hear that. Those children are going to say, you're not the real Buzz. You're not the real fill in the blank. Because they know. They have an amazing ability to be able to distinguish what is real and what is fake, at least as certain time goes on in their lives. So guess what? They know. Right now, your children know. Your grandchildren know. Those children that are looking up to you as a mentor, they know if worship matters to you or not. Hey, worship matters to me. We're here. But if there's a ball game, does it matter? If there's a vacation, does it matter? If there's a stuffy nose that's not contagious, that's not going to kill somebody, does it matter? You see, they know that. They're watching you. They're watching you to know, are we going to go to Bible class? Are we going to go to every night of Vacation Bible School? Are we going to come on Wednesday night? They know if it matters. Do not think you're kidding them. They know. They know if prayer matters to you. They know if prayer matters to me. When Michelle and I set out, and you know we had a journey for God to bring children to our lives, we certainly didn't want to blow it and mess it up after He granted us these children. It was really important to us for us to teach our children how to pray and the importance of prayer. Listen, the disciples didn't ask Jesus how to walk on water. They didn't ask Him how to raise the dead. They asked Him to teach them how to pray. Think about that. Children know if prayer matters to you. Children know if worship is routine, being a part of the church is routine, or a passion. Children know if Jesus has truly changed us. Children know if Christianity is real in our homes. See, you can fool people. You can fool me. You can fool others. But it's hard to fool the people who live under your roof. You know what our children are doing? They're watching. How do we speak to others when we're angry? How do we respond under pressure? How do we treat our spouse? How do we act, or should I say, how do we react when we've been disappointed? How do we speak about the church? How do we speak about the leadership of the church? How do we speak about those who are working so hard to help the church be what God wants it to be? Our children are watching whether our worship is real or it's fake. You see, they know if we sing on Sunday, "Oh, how I love Jesus," they know you don't love Him very much if they hear bitterness, criticism, anger, and worldliness all week long. You see, faith was never meant. When God designed us and He put faith as something that we were to be able to experience and have in our lives, when God established it, He knew it was never meant to stay inside the walls of wherever the worship facility was. In fact, go to Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7. "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart." Guess what? "You shall teach them diligently to your children." In other words, they're not meant to stay in your home. They're not meant to stay in your neighborhood. They're not meant to stay in your church building. They're to go out from generation to generation to generation. God made us imagers of Him. When He created Adam and He created Eve, He said they are created in the image of us. In other words, they are to be X-rays of us. When people look at them, they should be us. That's the Trinity. That's the Godhead. That's the ones up in that miraculous time when God was making man. And then He said to Adam and Eve, "Be fruitful and multiply." In other words, make more imagers of us. That command's still the same. He wants us to be an imager of Him. And He wants us to be able to make those that He's blessed us with more imagers of Him. You see, our children need more than just the religious activity. Hey, we're going to church today, and that's we may not say it this way, but that's going to be it. And I understand, we are the church, but we all say it that way. Let's say it this way, though. We're going to worship today, and then that's us. That's it, right? We don't say it to our children, but that's sometimes the way we live, right? I mean, let's just be honest. We've got to ask that question honestly. That's not enough. That's not near enough. You see, it's possible to bring our children to worship their entire life and them still never see a genuine faith a single day in their lives. Let me say that one more time. It is possible for us to bring our children every Sunday of all their life and them still never see a single day of genuine faith in their lives. That's scary. It ought to be sobering. The greatest lessons are not taught during a sermon. I'm always going to give you my best. I always want, when my adrenaline wears off, to be tired on a Sunday because I gave my best up here. But I'm not kidding myself. Those are not the best sermons that are going to be preached today. You see, those great lessons are taught every day around dinner tables. They're taught in car rides. If you're like me, everywhere you go is 20 minutes, at least. There's a lot of teaching can happen in that car ride. Turn the radio off. And listen, sometimes, and I know it's going to cause a little fuss because they're used to it, turn their device off. And let's talk about Jesus. Let's sing a song about Jesus. Let's tell a Bible story in the car ride. Those lessons, those great sermons are taught during the hard times we experience as a family. During conflicts we may have with each other or others. During disappointments. During ordinary days. You see, our children see whether our faith is real or not. But another thing we need to note about this is our children see who or what we love the most. They're seeing it every day. You've got a friend in me. That's the theme. That's the song. That's the theme song from the movie. And you know what it does to me? It's a beautiful reminder that Jesus is not merely a distant Savior. He is our friend. In John 15, 13 through 15, His words, "Greater love has no one than this, than someone laid down his life for his friends. I have called you friends if you do as I command you." Think about that. The Son of God calls us friends. He loved us first. He died for us. And He longs to spend eternity with all of us. Do our children see that we love Him back the way He loves us? Are they seeing that? Do I love Jesus the way He loves me? Am I loving Him back? Children learn where to go by watching where we go. You see, when times are hard, where are we going? Are we going to Jesus? Are we going to God? Because if we are, that's where our children will go as well. But if children constantly see us placing other things before God, before the church, they're going to see that Jesus doesn't matter that much to us. Oh, how I love Jesus. Do you really love Him? Do I love Him more than money? Do I love Him more than sports? Can I tell you something? I think as a dad who loves sports, yeah, I wanted, you know, I had a son. I wanted to give him those opportunities. Some of those he didn't enjoy very much because Daddy wasn't a very good coach or encourager. But I think God gave Bo a talent. And Bo accomplished a lot of great things. And Bo had, as what we would call, Division I offers to play football. Of course, he chose to honor Christianity, and he goes up to Faulkner University. Bo's never missed a game from injury. Very first practice, he tears his knee up. He sits down with us. He says, "I don't really want to play anymore." That's fine. But I'm just saying, I spent all those years, all that money, right? I mean, I don't regret it, because there were times, and I think it taught him a lot of lessons and everything else. But here, all of a sudden, it's gone. It's gone. Let me tell you, it's really hard to be a Seth Smith. His daddy was also a Major League Baseball player. I'm just being as real as I can be. Don't put all your hope and stock in that for your children. if we're constantly placing sports, dance, whatever else it may be, listen, I love you enough to tell you the truth, that our children are seeing that Jesus really isn't the most important thing in our life. We could say that about success, popularity, career, entertainment. I don't want you to ever underestimate the importance of bedtime prayers. There's somebody here, and I won't say their name, but they'll text me sometimes, and they have a lot of things they're struggling with, and in fact, they're doing a lot of things by themselves as parenting goes, right? And so they'll text me sometimes when their child has learned several books of the Bible, and they quote it and they send it to me. And you know what I always do? I always applaud that, because that is a parent who is trying really hard, and they're proud of it. And I'm proud of that. You see, don't underestimate when you get down on your hands and knees, or just your knees with your child by the bed, and you say a prayer with them. Don't take that for granted. That's very important. Don't underestimate the importance of bringing your children to worship. And let me specifically say to dads, moms usually don't have as big of issue with this as dads do. Dads, your children are watching if you sing or not. They're watching mama too. But let's face it, mamas usually sing a lot better than us dads. But they're watching you. And you know what they're going to do? If you're not singing, they're going to grow up and teach their children that singing isn't really important either. Very rarely do they overcome what they've been taught. It happens, but it's rare. Don't underestimate going down the road singing and listening to songs that praise God over other secular junk. Don't underestimate that. Don't underestimate acting out Bible stories with your family and telling Bible stories with your family. And when they become teenagers, answer their questions. My children have asked me some deep questions, and I've tried to always take the time to answer them. But I can remember telling a story. Madeline was little, Bo was little, and we were acting out a Bible story in our house. And this is how you know children are getting it, right? And we were acting out David and Goliath. What else, right? And I'm talking about, I'm an Academy Award-winning VBS actor. That's the way I feel, anyhow. And we're acting this story out, and I mean, I've got five little balls of paper that David, who is I'm Goliath, by the way, who is Bo, and he goes, and he gets, Madeline's over there, bless her heart, she's got a pasty in her mouth, she's just, she don't care, Daddy's just the greatest thing ever. And so he gets it, and he throws, and I'm telling you, it hits me literally right between the eyes, and man, I'm telling you, I give the greatest ball you've ever seen. And I get up, and I'm like, great job, guys, Bo's so puzzled over there. What'd I do wrong, you know? I'm like, Bo, what's going on? He said, I didn't get to cut your head off. Don't underestimate how much Scripture they know. All right? We don't do that part in BBS, do we? But I remember that. You think they remember that? I guarantee you they do. Don't underestimate that kind of stuff. Children can't just hear that Jesus matters to us. They got to see it. It leads me to our final point today. Our children should see what Christianity is through us. The greatest gift we can give our children is Christianity. And I'm talking about true Christianity. Listen, I love Bo and Madeline with all my heart, and I give them everything I've got, but guess what? That's not going to be very much when I'm gone. Financially, it won't be there. But I'm proud I gave them Jesus Christ. Children need to see Christianity transform us. In Ephesians 4, 31 and 32, Paul said it this way, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." You know what he's saying? He's saying, let Christianity transform you. Take all that bad and put it to the side and let the good fill you up. Children learn Christianity by watching and observing how other Christians behave. Kindness, forgiveness, grace, gentleness, humility, patience. They're watching us with those kinds of things. Every home, every parent, every grandparent, every mentor, we're all teaching some kind of theology. Theology is the study of the Bible. Theos, ology, put it together, right? They're reading the Bible from us. We might be teaching them bad things. We might be teaching them good things. But don't kid yourself, you're teaching them something. Every home is teaching something about God. A home filled with anger, it still teaches something about God. A home filled with hypocrisy is teaching children something about faith. I didn't say it was good things, but it's teaching. A home filled with bitterness is teaching children something about Christianity. But homes filled with grace, truth, repentance, worship, love, humility, those homes are giving those children a glimpse of what Jesus and Christianity really is. One of the strongest demonstrations of faith is not pretending to never fail. I have never tried to be somebody who faked it with my children. They can see it anyhow. If I failed them, I've always tried to go and say, you know what? I messed up and I'm sorry. I've always tried to do that with my wife. I've tried to do it with church and I've tried to do it with others. Why? Because I think it matters. I believe in being a man. I really do. I believe God made us men and He made us women and we ought to own those roles. But it's not macho for us as men to say we're sorry. To say I messed up. Mamas, women, same way. Children need to see repentance. David in Psalm 51. Let's all see what repentance looks like. He begged God, create in me a clean heart. Sometimes as parents, though, we get consumed with grades and scholarly awards, sports. I know I've harped on that a lot. Scholarships, popularity, achievements. And listen, I'm not saying those things in themselves are bad. In fact, I post those things, you post those things, and I applaud those things with your children. I celebrate with you, with your children for that. But let's not become so consumed with it that we miss what our greatest mission is, and that is spiritual. Mark 8:36, Jesus Christ said, "For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?" Again, the greatest thing we can give our children is not wealth, fame, or secular success. living a faith that God is proud of. Colossians 3:17, whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, Paul looked at Timothy and he saw sincere faith. Again, that faith had a history, right? His mother Eunice, his grandmother Lois. So the question I have is, what faith are our children actually seeing in us? You may have heard of all this and it may have pricked you a little bit. It reminds me of a scene in Toy Story. After the crew, the toy crew, realize that they wrongly judged Woody. There's a scene, and this is what the scene looks like, with Slinky Dog and Rex. And Slink asks the question, after they realize, we have falsely judged Woody. What have we done? Then Rex responds, great, now I have guilt. Maybe right now, you realize, what have I done? Maybe right now you realize, I have some guilt. I want you to remember this. Your children will watch how you respond to it. Jesus still changes hearts. Jesus still changes lives, and it's not too late to be the example our children need to see. You see, that friend who laid down his life for you, he still calls you friend. And he's willing to lay down his life for you again. Maybe today is the day your children begin seeing a different kind of faith in you. Maybe it's the day they watch you walk the aisle and get baptized into Jesus Christ. Or maybe you just repent of where you've been and what you're doing, and we all do better. The beautiful thing about it is this, through the blood of Jesus, we've still got a friend in Him. Church, I love you. But let's do it for our children. Let's do it for the church. Let's do it for the church's survival and future. And let's do it because it's what God expects. If you have a need, won't you come right now together? We stand and sing.